your Holy Spirit did to Paul on the road, speak to us now through your word, so that by hearing, we too may receive faith and be strengthened to do your will. Amen. Our first reading is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel as Matthew recorded it, chapter 9. And as he, meaning Jesus, sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The passage that Jenny read this morning is the beginning of Paul's letter to a new church of people whom he's never met, the church in Rome. When Paul writes this letter, none of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, has been written down yet. And Paul hasn't met these people in Rome. He doesn't know what they've been taught by the Jewish brand new Christians who went back home to Rome after Pentecost. So Paul tells them the gospel. The gospel, or good news, is that the power of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, is arrayed to save all those who have faith in God, whether they're Jews or Greeks. That's a concise statement, but there's a lot there. Let's unpack that a little bit. God created heaven and earth and everything that there is. Scripture tells us that not one thing came into being except through the power and the logos of God. God has the power to do anything that pleases God. God has the power to just damn us all to hell for eternal torment and be done with us. We couldn't stop it from happening. We couldn't even really argue that we human beings are not a messed up lot or that we don't deserve that. Human nature is, frankly, messed up. We disobey God all the time. We treat each other in ways that are just shameful. I'm talking about slavery and genocide and innocence being collateral damage in war. I'm talking about human trafficking and domestic violence and rape and hate crimes. I'm talking about lies and deceit and manipulation, whether petty or not so petty. I'm talking about the countless other ways that we disrespect God, we damage God's creation, and we hurt each other. These things are sin. They are things which we do which are wrong. They hurt our brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings. And they grieve God. They make God angry and sad. We are in the power of sin, every one of us. We don't have the power to break free completely on our own. Paul couldn't do it. Mother Teresa couldn't do it. We can't do it. But we don't have to. God chooses to use God's power to give us grace that we don't deserve and to save all of those who have faith in God. That grace applies to everyone, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, boys and girls, to people of every race and color. That is amazing good news. God sent Jesus to earth. Jesus lived our human life without sinning, without doing wrong. And then he died for us on the cross. God raised Jesus from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's there right now. And God did all of that for us. No matter where we go or what we do or what happens to us, there is nothing on earth or off it that is more powerful than God is. There is nothing that can separate us from the power of God's love. God is not just with us on the bright, happy, shiny mountaintop days of our lives. God goes with us through the darkest valleys of our lives too. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about discipleship, about helping other people to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and about being good disciples ourselves. What Paul says in this letter tells us how we can do that. And just as importantly, how we can keep doing that when the world exhausts us and disappoints us. If we're paying attention, the world is gonna do that. Every time we turn on the news, we hear news of bombings and shootings and the abuse of the vulnerable. And it feels like it never stops. To quote the modern philosopher Lilo Pellicke, this is your badness level. It's unusually high for someone your size. Sometimes it feels like we need to say that to the world, doesn't it? World, I love you, but this is your badness level. It's unusually high for someone your size. All of that is true. I'm not going to be Pollyanna up here. That wouldn't do anybody any good. Some people want you to believe that the world is much worse than it was when you were a kid, whenever that was. And I don't believe that that's necessarily true. We hear about all the bad stuff that previously we wouldn't have heard about. So the general state of things seems worse than it is. But there is plenty of badness out there. Paul points out, though, that even in a world with a high badness level, there is good news. If we're following Jesus Christ, we will never walk alone. Christ walks with us, even on those dark days and the darker nights when it feels like we're all alone. Even on those days when you're discouraged and it feels like you're attempting the impossible. When it feels like there's no hope and a better world is an impossible dream. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have. Even on the worst of all possible days, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not alone. Even on the worst day of your life, you are loved. You are valued. The God who created heaven and earth loves you. Loves you enough to die for you. So what does that mean for us? What are the implications? The power of God means that we have hope. God is real, and God's power is not directed at destroying us or making our lives miserable. God's power is not directed to intimidate us or force us to do things. If God wanted to do that, God has the power. God couldn't make us all be obedient little robots that did exactly the perfect thing every time. But that's not what God is trying to do here. God is not looking for robots or for cowering wretches too afraid to do anything for fear that they might inadvertently put a toe out of line. God's power is directed to save us from sin and death. The death at the end of this period of life and the slow walking death that is life without meaning, life without purpose. We have hope. And Augustine said that hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are and courage to see to it that they do not remain as they are. We can all see that the world around us is not what it should be. We turn on the news and we see that we hear the news that there is slavery and genocide and anything where human beings are regarded as collateral damage. Human trafficking and domestic violence and rape and hate crimes. The list goes on. Because we have hope, we don't have to just shrug and say, I know it's wrong, but I guess we can't do anything about it. We'll just have to accept it. No. Because we have hope given to us by God, we do not have to accept the things we cannot change. You or I may not have the power to change them, but God does. And we can be part of God changing them. We can work to change the things that we cannot accept. God's power is directed not just to save us, but to save the whole world, the whole cosmos. Jesus sat down and ate with tax collectors, which is to say, collaborators with the enemy, and with notorious sinners. He will sit down and eat with us, and he will walk with us. The Roman Empire was vast and powerful and corrupt, and it was the power in the world. Just ask any imperial official or the legionnaire walking by on the street with his armor and his sword. Now its greatest monuments are ruins, tourist attractions. Don't tell me that what is evil in the world cannot be changed. We don't have to choose between a saving relationship with God and justice in the world. That's one of the pitfalls that is very easy for us to fall into. A relationship with God and working for what is right in the world are two sides of the same blessed coin. If you understand who God is and how God loves you, and not just you, but the whole world, then you want the whole world to be better. Oh, if you don't want the world to be better than it is, then you need to go back and make sure you're still worshiping the same God who commanded you to love God and love your neighbor. The same God who ordered God's people to take care of the widow and the orphan and the foreigner in their midst. If you are working for the world to be better, you don't have to do it all on your own. The good news is that Jesus is walking with you. And lo, he will be with you always, even to the end of the age.